Welcome to Sabbath Services. It's a wonderful day here in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. We had a little rain overnight, and we are now in summer, and I am so happy. Well, let's get right into this so that I don't take any of the time away from my brother who has a message to follow. We're going to start with this. I want to remind you that there is an event in the Gospels that has confused and confounded laymen and scholars alike. It's something Christ did in the final days of his human life, so there must be something very important for Christians to learn from it. The account appears in both Matthew and in Mark. The account we're going to use is in Mark 11, and it is really in two parts because this is a discussion about something that has other aspects. So we're only going to focus on the parts that relate to the particular topic. That will be, for those who are writing down a quick note, Mark 11 verses 12 through 14 and 20 through 25. Anyway, this is a version of events that just after Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, had come out of Bethany. Now, Bethany is a village we know about. It's a short distance south of Jerusalem, and its very name apparently means house of green figs. There must have been many fig trees in Bethany for the village to have that name. And it says, on the morrow, when they had come out of Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it, no man will eat from you from now on forever. And his disciples heard it. So then the second part of this occurs about a day later, when they were again going out in the morning. And it says, and they passed by in the morning and saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. On the surface of this account, it defies logic. It appears that Christ is expecting more from the fig tree than it would be something that we'd be able to do, for it would be impossible to do, or so we think. And then he's cursing it for his failure. How could a fig tree be expected to produce fruit, even though Scripture clearly says it was not the season for figs? The title of this message, The Cursed Fig Tree, is taken from the heading often appearing in the Gospels above the account, which has been difficult to understand by scholars and students alike from the beginning. As we meet here online today, only 1 week and a day from Pentecost 2020, we'll learn why this account of actual events is of timeless relevance to Christians. A contemporary theologian, a 20th century theologian from Scotland, William Barclay, found it confusing and almost too difficult to understand. He says of this event in his New Testament Bible commentary, there can be no doubt that this, without exception, is the most difficult story in the gospel narrative. To take it as literal history presents difficulties which are well nigh insuperable. Most earlier commentaries fare no better. Some commentators seem totally confused, and that may be because they live thousands of miles from the Holy Land and may not have seen or been familiar with fig trees and didn't understand what was really happening on the tree. Others, written by authors familiar with how fig trees grow, knew what was happening, but surmised Christ's message was solely his disappointment in the spiritual state of Israel during his day. Now, I spoke on this topic in Worcester in April of 2015. I covered a few other points, so this one's a little different. But now 5 years have passed, and while some on our webcast today may recall it, others weren't present or were too young for it to make it an impression on them at the time. So my purpose today is to explain what Christ was teaching when he cursed the fig tree. Here's the overriding theme of this message. Trees and Christians are both supposed to bear fruit. Fig trees are for making figs. Christians are for making fruit of the Spirit. First point, early figs appear before the leaves. The Bible Almanac, page 251, titled Dates and Figs, concerning the state of the tree in the spring in the Holy Land during biblical times, reads, pear-shaped fruit of green figs first appeared on the leaves. If the leaves came out with no fruit having appeared, there would be no fruit that season. Other sources confirm the presence of these green knobs, called tash in Arabic, and they must appear about 6 weeks before fully formed figs appear. They're sort of a forerunner to mature figs that we're accustomed to seeing in our grocery stores. And they often fall off before ripening, but if not, they're harvested starting in June and are often eaten by peasants and anyone else who's hungry. But if the leaves appear unaccompanied by this tash, there would be no figs that year. Now we start being fruitful, and if you'll excuse the analogy, as Christian fig trees, when God opens the hard soil of our minds, He plants the seeds of truth that grow within us, and as we pray, study, and change, we grow. Then we bring forth buds of green figs by our first love of the word, followed by growing that fruit to meet into something meat or evidence of repentance. Then upon baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit that has been leading us, and it's now indwelling. So our growth continues by drinking that Holy Spirit in, and then we become rooted and grounded in the faith to an even greater degree than we were when we were first called and before we were baptized. So then we put forth the leaves of righteous behavior, if you will. Again, I hope I'm not stretching the analogy, but I think you can see where we're going with this. And some of that is the fact that we develop prayer, Bible study, and church attendance habits that we follow, and they will nourish the green fruit of the Spirit that's beginning to show up with us and bear more fruit as time goes on. As healthy Christians, we draw that spiritual water from our roots of faith. We nourish the budding fruit of the Spirit using the sunlight of God's word of truth, and we breathe in the oxygen provided by Christian fellowship with brethren. And I can probably say with assurance, I'm feeling oxygen starved, and except for broadcasts like this, I probably would suffocate. Thank you for all that are doing this to bring the ability for us to meet online to our Sabbath ability to keep it. So, having said that, what's next? We have a life to live, day after day, week after week, holy day season after holy day season, always walking in the way, which is what the sect of Judaism originally was called, that later became Christianity. We'll follow it over lifetime, and over the lifetime, if we do what we're supposed to be doing, and I mean over the long run, because it can't happen in a day, we'll bring the fully and ripened peaceable fruit of righteousness forth, and it will show up as fruit that others can see and understand, and God can appreciate and bless and honor. And the entry point then will be the kingdom of God as immortal spirit beings, children of God the Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ at the second coming. So, everybody knows we are members of the church Christ is building, and we're also now trees in the house of green and spiritual figs. Second point, fig trees bear twice in a season. Now, commentators ascribe the meaning of the barren tree as showing the barren spiritual state of the nation of Israel in Christ's time. But they don't seem to understand that the story to have any spiritual significance for our time. Now, a plausible explanation of this is because they do not keep God's weekly Sabbath or his annual festivals and holy days. Therefore, they don't understand God's plan of salvation, and frankly, neither did we before we were called. While the world does not see this, we see two harvests from the same tree as a powerful analogy to the way Christ is growing his church and the family of God. Figs, like the family of God, have two harvests. The early fig harvest starts around Pentecost and goes in June and July. The later fig harvest, much larger and more sweet, starts in August and goes through the fall holy days. Earlier commentators who understood how fig trees grow and fruit were correct in saying the barren fig tree was like the spiritually barren Israel of Christ's time. We understand that too and believe the fig tree speaks today to the need for Christians, which is spiritual Israel, to bear fruit of the Spirit. Point number three, Christians, like fig trees, are expected to show forth unripe figs well before the season of figs. As long as the church age or our individual lives continue, fruit of the Spirit, first appearing as green fig buds in our lives, is supposed to keep growing until we're harvested as first fruits. We should take stock of how fruitful we are and make adjustments as needed. Now, this is an excellent time to do that as we are going between Passover, the holy days of unleavened bread, and we're going to Pentecost. We are actually supposed to be doing this as often as necessary, perhaps and preferably every day of our lives. We get distracted from that perhaps, but please understand, I believe this is our job. So, in conclusion, unlike most who read the story of the cursed fig tree, God has opened our minds to understand the spiritual lessons it teaches to help us live lives as fruitful Christians. Now, Christ wasn't expecting more from the fig tree than a healthy fig tree should be able to produce. If we weren't familiar with how a fig tree grows before that, the time we just spent listening to this message, I think we now will all agree that it's true. But there's a more important lesson for us as Christians. Christ wasn't expecting more from a fig tree than a healthy fig tree should be able to produce, but then neither does he expect more fruit of the Spirit from us than healthy Christians should be able to produce. Again, I'll close as I opened. Pentecost is only a week and a day away. Every day that passes brings us one day closer to death. The whole country, and in effect our society, does not want to talk about death, but we don't want to dwell on it, but we should be realistic about it and understand that it is just as much a part of life and the cycle of our lives as birth. But it's also more important for what the church is becoming. One day that passes in our lives is one day closer to the end of the church age and the return of Christ. Producing spiritual fruit is not optional for us. Results matter. How are we doing?